Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There are very many lying in the valley, and they are very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. The background of the text of the prophet Ezekiel is thus. He is ministering to those in exile roughly from 593 to 563 before the common era. So he is with them from from their lives as exilic Israelites to post-exilic Judaism. The message of the prophet is straightforward. In the face of hardship and oppression, count on God's goodness to grant strength. The other thing that's interesting, scholars are able to tell that this is a heavily redacted text. That just means that there are a bunch of people who edit the work, but the lasting poetry and call for hope in the midst of difficulty is one voice, and that's Ezekiel. In this passage, the prophet is led by the Spirit to the valley of dry bones and ask if these bones can live. And in all translations, it says, only thou knowest, O God. He is then told to prophesy to the bones, and God's spirit will come through him, and the bones will live. Ezekiel does as he is commanded, and the bones indeed do come to life. Part of the question the text is asking is, what inspires us? What drives us to our feet each day to invest ourselves in that day with purpose, conviction, and commitment? We are no longer a nation of manufacturing. We are a consumer-based society in this 21st century. So we are a nation of slogans and taglines. And these are just a few. I'm sure you could name another dozen or so. You deserve a break today. There is more for your life at. We bring good things to life. You're in good hands with. With this in mind, what is it that gives you a fresh breath each day? That first cup of coffee or tea, a few minutes to pray or meditate, some good news. You know, there's plenty of bad news, but some good news. Does that nourish you, bring life to you? While I read the headline and check the internet for news each and every day, several times a day, the first two things I read each day before the headlines are the sports and the comics. And I know that this is the toy department of life stuff, but it's what I do. It's what one of those things which keeps me going. And yet over the years, as I've shared this with people, I have folks who have heard me speak of this and are so attuned to it that they ask me on a regular basis if I've seen a certain comic or a certain uplifting article. The passage from Ezekiel is a solid example of what it means to live in the land of hope, a thoughtful and interesting concept. Fear abounds, but a residence in the land of hope nourishes. This past Tuesday in the LA Times, death of Ahmed Kathrada, a close confidant of the late President Nelson Mandela of South Africa, the announcement of his death was printed in the LA Times. He died in Johannesburg, South Africa. He was 87 years old. He was of Indian descent, much lighter in skin tone than his beloved friend, his brother Nelson. Yet together they fought to end apartheid and racism in their beloved country. For fighting against these dreaded issues, he was arrested 18 times between the ages of 12 and 28. You heard that, 18 times. In 1963, he was arrested along with Mandela and others and sentenced to life in prison on Robben Island. Their crimes, seeking equality in a land where it was against the law to have dark skin. We had in our fair country this notion of whites only. In South Africa, the signs read Europeans only, which meant white folks. Robin Dixon penned this fair article for the Times. I commend it to you. Bishop Desmond Tutu said of Kathrada, "People like Kathy," that's his nickname, "people like Kathy have helped because of their lack of bitterness, their magnanimity and generosity of spirit and willingness to forgive, even after so much suffering." I confess I'd never heard of Mr. Kathrada before this article. What it points to is what so much of us, so many of us need to understand. It's not one alone, but many, many hands that lift the weight and bear the burden of the goodness that has to come. Dr. Wayne Dyer, late psychologist and television personality, said several times throughout his long career, both in writing and in his lectures, "We are not human beings on a spiritual journey. We are spiritual beings on a human journey. We are not human beings on a spiritual journey. We are spiritual beings on a human journey." Over and over again, if we would just look and see this. I drive a lot and don't get anywhere very fast, as you well know, as Angelenos yourself. I'm usually listening to National Public Radio or a popular rock, meaning sort of geezer rock stuff. The National Public Radio station I was listening to this week had an endless campaign, it seemed, for funds. Everybody needs money all the time. You know this, you come to church, we all want money. Everybody needs it. Well, I was listening to a song that I probably should know, but I confess that I was never a fan of the Ramones. They are contemporaries, but I like the Beatles and even the Rolling Stones more than the Ramones. And the lyric that I confess I had never heard before, the tagline was, "I want to be sedated. I want to be sedated." And I thought about that, and I thought, I don't want to be sedated. I want to be awake. The only time I want to be sedated is during surgery or some humiliating medical exam. I see you smiling. You know what I'm talking about. I want to be alive and awake and present. I ran into a friend in the parking lot of a grocery store. It could happen. And she was telling me about her son, who will be a senior. He's a junior this year. He'll be a senior next year. And he's gone through his first crisis of faith. He's probably 16, I'm guessing. And she is having a difficult time of her own. She's not a member of this parish. I'm not telling tales. It's just somebody I know. And her son says to her, "I'm struggling with faith, and I don't know anyone who prays as much as you do, Mom. Yet your life is hard. So how is this faith stuff working out for you? You know people like this. They're not fair-weather believers. They just understand." Well, her response was stunning. She said, "Honey, we live towards hope, trusting in the loving presence of God, no matter what, no matter what." And so it is. The prophet Ezekiel says, breathe, live, serve. That's what we're called to do. Life is not fair, it is life. And so we seek breath. I remember a comedian years ago doing a riff on Ponce de Leon, discovering the fountain of life and renewing himself quite literally. I didn't think of it as a spiritual statement, but it probably was. Now, the comedian said something to the effect, well, Ponce de Leon was just a filthy animal and needed a bath, and that's what woke him up. Well, whether you need to jump in the jacuzzi or stand under a shower and let it fall on you, or whether you need to walk in the breeze, figure it out. What breathes life into you? I own my first convertible of my adult life, and I rarely drop the top, I tell you, because I have too much forehead and too much fair skin, and I don't want to get burned. But every now and then, I follow the advice of a friend who has never owned anything but convertibles. And she said, every now and then, just even if it's a lousy day, I put the top down and take an air bath. Unique concept. So whether it's an air bath, a jacuzzi, sitting under a shade tree and reading some fine poetry, whatever it is, find out what breathes life into you, and then share that breath with anybody you can. May it ever be so. Amen.